in every part of my life, because He is concerned about every detail of my life. I'm thankful for the little things in life and the big things in life that God's brought us through, but I'm also thankful for what yet lies ahead. Sometimes when I look ahead, my head can become filled with all kinds of dread and worry for what might lie in the future. But when I get my mind focused the way it's supposed to be, back on God, my confidence returns. I'm thankful we can face the future with hope, with confidence, and with some degree of excitement and anticipation about what yet lies ahead. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Our God is good. I was reminded of that again. Our God is good and faithful. I'm going to start in Isaiah, the second chapter this morning. You pray for me. I had some thoughts on my mind most of the week. I went to prayer this morning, and after praying, decided to go a different direction. And so the next time I preach this, it'll be better. The first time through may be a little bit rough. But you pray for me that God will anoint and help me this morning in the delivering of His Word. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we count a privilege to be in Your house. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for your watchful care. Thank You, Lord, for the good weather. Thank You, Lord, for every benefit of life that You've bestowed upon us. Truly, Lord, You blessed us in many, many ways with many things. We thank You that You brought Your truth across our path that we could come to know You and know Your love and know Your care and know the peace that You give us. We thank You for that, Lord. Now as we look in Your Word, we pray for the folks that are here. You know, as I prayed this morning, God, not for my sake, but for their sake, give them something they need for this week. For their sake, Lord, anoint by Your Spirit that I might speak that which You'd have me to. But more than that, anoint their ears, anoint their heart that they might hear from You and receive help from You. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. You know, I don't know where you live, but I'll talk to those of us that I know well. We've been in a time of a lot of trouble and worry on every side. And it's been an extended period of time of worry and trouble. You know, things in the world are unsettled, far more so than what you'd want to let your mind think on. Things in the world at large are very unsettled. Our nation, what's going on in our nation is distressing, to say the least. It's frustrating and distressing. And while we look around at these problems on the world scene, the church has fallen into apostasy. And by that I mean they've left off. We studied in Sunday school this morning. They've left off the things that really matter. Some are drifting off and no different from the world in the way they think, the way they act, the way they do, except they show up at church every now and then. Others have fallen in the ditch on the other side, that they've forgot what really matters in serving God. And most of us, on top of that, have enough difficulty in our own personal lives if all that rest of that was going well. Amen? Between the family, the job, the house, the car, our health, other things, there seems like a tremendous amount of difficulty. And I know it may just seem that way. But I know these experiences or these realities have a tendency to leave us discouraged. Yeah. Right? I mean, the natural tendency, discouraged, down, filled with dread, filled with worry. Amen? I mean, that's, well, if you let your mind dwell on those things, those are the thoughts that spin around and has a way of bringing us down. Yet, listen, as believers, as Christians, as children of God, we're promised something better than that. Amen? We're promised something better than a life of discouragement, dread, and fear, and worry. Amen. We're going to talk about that. We have a God. Amen. I know there's times of heaviness. There's times of sadness. You ought to be sad and have a period of mourning when you lose a loved one. There's going to be a natural sadness that follows loss. Amen. God doesn't expect us to rejoice through all those things. But I will say this. The norm of the Christian life is joy. Amen? Amen? The norm of the Christian life is joy. The norm of my life as a child of God ought to be joy. The norm of your life as a child of God ought to be joy. Amen? Well, let's look at it. Isaiah 12th chapter. I said 2nd, but it's 12th. Isaiah the 12th chapter, verse number 3. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Therefore, with joy, shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. The picture here is of a well that, you know, streams sometimes can go dry. You know, they may flow a little bit and not flow a little bit. But a well had the idea of water, refreshing, life-giving water, always being there. And it says, with joy, we draw waters out of the well of salvation. As I said, in times of difficulty, in times of trial, times of discouragement and frustration, we need reminded what a treasure we have in salvation. Amen? We need our minds refreshed and reminded. Matthew 13, chapter 44th verse says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Well, the illustration here is one who is willing to sell everything he had to buy this field. Why was he willing to sell everything he had to buy the field? It's worth more. I mean, the reason he's willing to sell everything he had to buy the field, because what was there was worth more. Amen? And he said, it wasn't a hard choice. He said, for the joy thereof, he went and sold everything he had to buy that field so he could have the treasure. Why? Because it's worth more. I tell you what, when we get a view of what salvation is and the treasure we have, whatever it costs, we can do with joy because it's worth more.
Amen?
Amen? What we have obtained in salvation is worth more than anything else in this world. Amen? We've listened the last 3 weeks to the promise of eternal life. I tell you what, now some of you maybe not far enough down the road, but life happens in a hurry. It does. I don't want to be distressing to those of you who are younger and not have, you know, one of my kids told me, oh man, adults, you listen to adults talk, you know, you're born, you grow up, you go to work and you die. I mean, boom, you know, nothing to, well, no, I've enjoyed quite a bit of this along the way, but it happened fast anyhow. Amen? There's life to be enjoyed, but it happens fast. The great treasure of salvation, the greatest treasure of all, is eternal life. To live forever in a real body, in a real place where nobody gets old, nothing gets worn out, nothing wears down, nobody does evil of any kind, anytime. In a perfect place with God Himself, living forever. It can't get much better than that, folks. It can't get any better than that. Amen? But not only do we have the promise of eternal life, which in itself is plenty. Come on. Trillions of years doesn't touch what eternity is. Our minds can't take that in. 1,000 years doesn't touch what eternity is. 100 years don't touch what eternity is. Amen? At most any of us are going to get maybe 100 years. Amen? Most of us are going to get less than that. And whatever we could squeeze or whatever it costs in that little bitty time slot versus perfect life forever. Amen? Not a hard decision. That's not a hard sell, folks. But you know, on top of that, not only has God given us eternal life, but in this life, we have the very creator of the universe, the God who created all this, is with us and for us. He's on our side. Amen? In this life. Not just eternal life, the life to come. But a God who is for us. Amen? We've been forgiven of our sins. I don't know about you, but you need reminded of that every now and then. I need reminded of that. Where God brought me from. Do you remember the guilt? Unless you were saved at a very young age, you can remember the guilt of sin and just want to be free of that. In fact, I come to a place, I didn't care what it meant. I wanted free of the guilt of sin. I wanted to be forgiven and free of that. Amen? God's given us that. God has given us a freedom, a new slate. Psalms 103:8 said, the Lord's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, not always chide, neither keep His anger forever. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God freely, fully forgives. Amen? In compassion, in mercy. That's our God in this life. I tell you what, if you remember living under a load of guilt, or you're living with guilt, guilt kills people. Amen? Guilt drives. If you're living under guilt, you really can't enjoy peace and happiness for very long at all. You can't. But our God takes it away. That's a great source of joy. The fact that we've been forgiven, free of guilt. Not just free of punishment, too. Free of the punishment, not destined for an eternal lost state in hell. But we're free from the punishment and free from the guilt. But not only did God forgive us, God brought us into a real relationship with Him where we could know Him. Not just forgiven, brought into His family as His children. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God." Behold, what manner of love that God's calling us His own children. Amen? He loves us like a father, and we love Him as our father. Amen? 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. I tell you what, there's real contentment, there's real satisfaction and real joy in being loved. You know that? There's a real satisfaction, contentment, and joy to be found in being loved. In being loved and loving somebody in return, there ain't much happier state in this life. Do you know that? To really love somebody and be loved in return. And we have that in our relationship with God. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Amen. You let your mind fill with the fact that God loves you and you love Him. Your joy unspeakable wells up in our heart. Amen? I tell you what, I thought as we were singing that song, His yoke is easy. A lot of people have a mistaken view of this Christian life today. Our God's not a hard taskmaster. Amen. In fact, John 15:15, he says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Jesus said, "I ain't just called you my servants, I've called you my friends." Amen. This Christian life is a real relationship of love. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. It ain't God that's making this way hard. Did you know that? If this way is hard and it's a burden, it's either us or somebody putting something on us that ain't a God. Do you know that? It's either our attitude's wrong or what we're being asked is not what pleases God, because God's burden is easy. The focus of our Christian life is our relationship with God. Amen? It ain't just what we do and don't do. What we do and don't do is an outgrowth of our Christian life. Amen? That's an outgrowth. That ain't our Christian life. That's an outgrowth of it. Our Christian life is our relationship with God. That's the Christian life. It's a life of loving God and in return, loving and also loving one another. That's our Christian life. It's a real and genuine relationship of God that's brought into by conversion, by repentance of our sins, by forsaking our sins, by accepting His sacrifice, by being cleansed within by Him, by being forgiven by Him. That's our Christian life. It's a relationship. It's a living thing. The do's and don'ts are the outgrowth of that Christian life. They're not the Christian life. You hear me? I hope you. I've been there before. I won't go there today. But that's the heart of the Christian life, is your relationship with God. You ever thought about this? What does God want? In all of creation, what's in it for God? Why would God create? God has the vastness of the universe. God has, I don't know how many angels, nobody knows how many angels, how many beings that do what He asks them to do. Amen? He sends them, they go. He does whatever He needs done is obeyed, right? Why did God make frail, puny humans like us and then give us the ability to defy Him? You ever think about that? God gave us free choice. Why would He do that? What's in it for Him? The answer to that is the key to what is real religion, folks. God's not just looking for faithful servants. God is looking for loving children. Amen? God is looking for loving children. What's love desire? You ever love anybody that didn't love you back? Is there much joy in loving somebody that doesn't love you back? If you've ever been there, you can answer affirmative, no, there's not much joy in that. The joy in love is love in return, right? The Bible describes God in many ways. God is holy. God is pure. God is righteous. God is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. A lot of ways. But God is also love. Love is so much a part of God's being. As the verse says, God is love. What's love want in return? Amen. Love wants love in return, right? What's God want? What's God want? God wants our voluntary love in return. What's in it for God is to find those ones who would see Him as He really is, see His love, and respond to Him in love to be fit to be gathered out of all created universe. The rest of the created universe is going to vanish away. But His treasure is going to be those who voluntarily saw His love and respond in love that He takes home to live with Him forever. Amen? God spent a few thousand years patiently showing Himself to mankind because He wanted us to know what He's really like. He didn't rush into this thing. He wanted us to know. He wanted us to know His goodness. He wanted us to know His holiness. He wanted us to know His fairness. And He wanted to know us His love so He could perfectly reveal what He is really like. He came as part of creation. He stepped in to creation as a human. In Jesus Christ, He stepped in so we could see what He's really like in terms we could relate to. The Scripture tells us He is the exact representation. He was God. Jesus said, "You seen Me, you seen the Father." What you see in Jesus Christ is exactly the way God is. No different. Exactly the same. And He did that so we could see who He was. Before He ever created the world, God perfected a plan of salvation to put in place. Not a thing that happened in this world has taken God by surprise. God knew everything that was going to take place before He ever created the world. He knew man was going to fall. He knew he was going to fall into sin. And God perfected, created a perfect plan of salvation to show us His love, to redeem ones back to Him. That plan of salvation was rooted in love. Never forget that. We can get awful religious and not know a thing about knowing God. Did you know that? There's some very religious folks. Talked about the Pharisees. Many of them, and I know there's many honest ones probably among them too. But the Pharisees got so wound up in being religion, they were as religious as anybody before or after them probably. But many of them did not know God. Amen? God wants your love, my love. God wants a real relationship with us. And I'm going to tell you, this is where joy is found. You can do everything right. You can go through all the motions. You can live an outwardly moral life and be in church every time the doors are open. But unless you have a real relationship with God, cultivate a relationship with love, you will not find lasting joy in the service of the Lord. But I tell you this, you can have a whole lot of things go wrong in your life. You can have a whole lot of setbacks in life. You may struggle with knowing things at times, even about God. But if you have a real, genuine relationship with Him, you will be able to find joy and satisfaction in the Christian life. Amen? Our joy is found in this relationship with God. Isaiah 51:11 says, Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy be on their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I know that the fullness of that verse is yet reserved for our eternal state, but I'm going to tell you, there is a truth in that for us today. Amen. Joy is a core part of the real Christianity. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. All three, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Every time you find God's presence described in the Bible, you'll find something going on always in the presence of God. Anybody want to venture a guess what that is? Praise and rejoicing. Amen. Every scene of the throne, every scene where God's presence is, there's worship, praise, and rejoicing going on. There's joy in God's presence. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. It's in the presence of God. When we know that his presence is real, when we feel his presence, whether it's in a service, in a song, or in prayer, when we sense God's presence, there's a sense of security that comes. Amen. Everything may be falling apart around us, but when we sense his presence, there's a sense of safety, a sense of security that comes over us. There's a sense of satisfaction when we know he's looking out for us. There's a sense of joy. Amen. Yes, Psalms 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. When God's looking out for us, we can trust him. And we can rejoice. Why? Because we know he can be depended on. We know he has our good at heart. Amen? John 16:24. Hereunto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy might be full. Amen? One of the promises Jesus gave was ask. Excuse me. He said, ask, pray, trust him. And he said, I'll answer so that your joy can be full. You ever had the thrill of an answered prayer? And whether it was a long time waiting or a short time between your prayer and the answer, there's always a joy that comes in our heart when God answered. Not just because we got what we needed, but because there's a sense, God hears me. God's looking out for me. God's concerned about me. Amen?
Yes.
It's knowing God, knowing his love, that brings us hope and joy in these discouraging times. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God's presence with us is both a reassurance and a joy in this life. 23rd Psalm. I don't know why, but I always think of Brother Ron when I read this psalm. The 23rd Psalm, Psalm of David. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want, and that want means I'll not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Something about God being our shepherd and being with us that ought to bring us a sense of assurance and joy, even though we go through tough times, valley of shadow of death, even though we have trouble, the presence of our enemies. Amen. My cup runs over. Amen. And I'm saying all this because I live in a real world. I have discouragements. I have battles and difficulties. I have worries and concerns. And I know it tends to beat me down. I know it tends to leave me sad and at times with dread and not a hope for the future, but rather a dread for what might lay ahead. But I want to remind us, we're not in this alone. It's not small help that we have. It's the very God that created this whole universe that is on our side, working on our behalf. Therefore, we can rejoice in Him, even though the outward things around us may not be ideal. Our joy, if we really experience it inside, ought to lead to rejoicing and praise on the outside. Amen? As I said, I know there's times when sadness is appropriate. I know there's times when grieving is appropriate. Amen? I know there's times of heaviness. We're not going to live up here all the time. I know that. But I also know that we don't want to be content and live in the valley. Amen? Sometimes it takes focusing our attention on the right things to be able to experience what's been promised to us. If you allow your mind to dwell on the goodness of God, you're going to tend towards joy. If you let your soul be reminded of His love, you're going to tend towards joy. There's times we need our joy renewed, right? I mean, there's times it's been flat for a while. There's times we've been beat up for a while when we need refreshed. Psalms 51:12 said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." There's times we need joy restored. Because joy is the norm in the Christian life. Psalm 63:3 says, Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Psalms 32:11, "Be glad in the Lord, rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Psalm 63:4, "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." When we have joy in our heart, one of the best ways to cultivate joy is to allow it to be expressed. You know, in our services, when we come together, I view this as a little oasis in the desert. When we have an opportunity to come into service, get away from the world, get away from some of the things that have to be dealt with, get away from some of the news, some of the headlines, but be able to come in. We ought to cultivate a sense of joy and rejoicing in God's presence. Amen? We ought to prepare our mind to dwell on His goodness, dwell on His love, and be able to come in and express in rejoicing and praise, in the songs and testimonies, express our praise for God and His goodness. Our God responds to our love. Did you know that? Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He'll save. He'll rejoice over thee with joy. He'll rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing." I'll read that from another translation. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save you. He'll rejoice over you with gladness. He'll quiet you by His love. He'll exalt over you with loud singing." Here, what a picture here. It's God singing with joy over His children. I mean, the first picture was us singing with joy about God. What a great Father He is. What His love. How wonderful it is. But on the other end of this thing, on the other end of this transaction, in heaven, this psalm tells us, God's rejoicing over His children, singing with a loud voice. He takes pleasure in our love. Do you know that? God's not indifferent to it. He takes pleasure. He's rejoicing. I think that's a beautiful picture. Us down here on earth taking pleasure in His love and rejoicing in it and praising Him. And God on the other side of the equation taking pleasure in our praises and our love and rejoicing. And pictured here, He said He'll exalt over you with loud singing. He'll joy over thee with singing. Yeah, it means God causes God to burst out in song. Hey, I don't know if that does anything for you, but it sure strengthens my heart to know God rejoices in His children. Amen. Just like we rejoice in Him. Psalms 149:1. "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praises in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. We don't have to have the answer to every question. We don't have to have perfect conditions in the world and in our nation. We don't have to have every problem in our life solved to be able to know the love of God and feel the joy of God in our heart. Amen?
Yes.
There's coming a day. As I said, you get through life pretty quick. It goes pretty fast. There's coming a day we're going to be on the other side, and every problem in this world is going to be solved. Every question we have is going to be answered at some point, and we're going to be beyond all the problems and difficulties we put up with. It ain't long down the road we're going to be there. But in the meantime, we can still rejoice in our God and His love for us. Amen? This refreshing comes from God's presence. Joy comes from God's presence. Well, where do you find God's presence? Where do you find God's presence? You find it in His Word. God speaks to us as we read His Word. God speaks to us. I have a practice, and I don't know what your practice is in life. But I mean, I live in the real world. Not everything's went great for me every time. I've had some difficulties. When I'm down, I go back to the Psalms. Because I find a refreshing in my soul in reading the promises and reading the words there. I find a refreshing in reading about God's love for me. You find a refreshing in our soul in getting into God's Word. And then your relationship is really built with God in your prayer life. When you're talking to God and He's talking to you, that's where... think back when you was dating. If you showed up or talked to your one you was pursuing, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, if you talked to them about as often as most Christians pray, do you think you'd ever got married? I mean, come on. I'm saying a lot of people expect to have this deep relationship with God and visit with Him once a week or so. Well, I can tell you it ain't going to happen. Amen? I talked to a friend of mine that I still ain't seen him for a long time, but I talked to him on the phone. Rooster, when we went to high school, he lived down the road from me. We went everywhere together. Went to Vincennes 2 years together, went to Purdue, lived together 2 years there. He never owned a car until I graduated from college because we rode everywhere in my car all the time. Did everything together. The life... after school, moved on. Been 30 years since I talked to him. Familiar in one way, but a stranger in a whole lot of ways.
Yes.
You know? What's the same? Any relationship, I don't care how close it is, if you don't give attention to it, you're going to grow apart. Amen? Our relationship with God's a real relationship. It's no different from that. If you don't spend time with God, you're not going to be close to Him. If you don't spend time with God, you're not going to experience a deepness of peace. A deepness of joy, a deepness of assurance. Now, you may have some, but it's not going to be deep and satisfying as it could be as you deepen that relationship. And you can't come to the altar and snap your fingers and get there. This happens, as real relationships do, by you spending time with God, one-on-one, amen, building that relationship. There's no magic pill. There's no magic experience to get you there. Amen? Relationships are built. This Christian life is your Christian life. We're here to help each other make it to heaven, right? I mean, that's what we're here for. I can't take you there. I can't drag you there. Amen? You know why? Because your relationship with God is yours. I can't even do that for my kids. I can just show them and point them and tell them. But unless they have a relationship for themselves with God, they ain't going to make it. And same with each one of us. Amen. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Isn't that what He tells us?
Amen.
With seriousness. It's your relationship. And to find joy in that, we need to deepen our relationship with God. And if we're doing stuff that we ought not be doing, God's faithful to show us that, to say, leave that alone if you want to be in relationship with me, right? I'm firmly convinced that if we get refreshed within, find a real relationship with God for ourselves, all this other nonsense, we're dealing with a fall in line the way it should be. I don't mean that there's not questions to be answered. I don't mean there's not serious questions to be dealt with. But I mean, if we get our hearts in the right place, we'll know how to get the answer. Amen? And I don't care how much you deal with all those other questions, if your heart ain't there, it don't amount to nothing. We can just become a bunch of Pharisees. Amen? There's joy in the Lord. I know some of you coming through deep trials. As I look around, some of you are still in the middle of deep trials. But I also know this. God's faithful, and we can find a satisfying portion for ourselves in Him. Amen? I know it's a little shotgun this morning. I tell you, next time we get to this subject, it'll be more focused. We'll get sharper. But I hope it helps you. Focus on your relationship with God. Don't be content. Here's the truth. You're going to find joy and satisfaction in something in life. Do you know that? You're going to find something you like. You're going to find joy and satisfaction someplace in life. If it ain't in your relationship with God, you're going to find it somewhere. You may keep up religion. You may stay religious. You may be in church. You may go through the motions. And if I'm not wrong, that's the vast majority of people that's in church this morning across our land and country. They're religious, but they don't have no heart in it. Their real life, their real joy, their real enjoyment someplace else. Amen? Yes. We can fall into that. And that yoke ain't easy and it ain't light. And it ain't much light to people around us. But if you find a place of real joy and you put your heart in it, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Amen? Amen. It's not hard to do those things that you believe pleases the one you love. But I tell you what, all of it will be hard. People, the danger isn't of people, well, there's some danger there, but most people's danger ain't running off to the bars and running off and doing this and that. The danger is they die inside. And then down the road someplace, something else crops up, but they died inside a long time ago. The better defense against that is not have 50 rules to keep you from going this way or that way, but to get your heart right. And don't lose the heart of this thing. Don't lose the joy within. Keep your relationship. And we have a lot less of chasing after other things to deal with. Amen. May God help you. Ask you to stand as we sing a verse of song in closing. Heavenly Father, we count a privilege to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I know it was a little scattered this morning, Lord, but I pray by your Spirit you'll take that which I didn't say, that which I stumbled around with, and make your message of your word clear to the hearts that are here. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation, I pray. Restore unto us, Lord, that real love for you and the thrill of knowing you and the thrill of knowing you watching out for us and caring for us and listening to us and helping us along the way. Restore that joy. Help ones, Lord, that down, struggling today, I pray by your Spirit. We give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.